विषयाचारिया फेरस मजिया मुखे बोलो हरी हरी संसारे मजिया गोरे भाई त्रिभुवने नाय ए मन दयाल दाता देखो रे भाई त्रिभुवने नाय ए मन दयाल दाता पशु पाखी जुरे पासना विदरे सुनि जार गुण गाता पशु पाखी जुरे पासना विदरे सुनि जार गुण गाता संसारे मजिया रहिले परिया से पदे नहिलो आशा मजिया रहिले परिया संसारे मजिया रहिले परिया से परे नहिलो आशा आपन कर्मा भुंजाए शमन कहो ये लोचन दास आपन कर्मा भुंजाए शमन कहो ये लोचन दास परम करुणा पहु दे जाना निताय गोरा चंद्र सब अवतार सार शिरो मने केवल आनंद कंदा हरे कृष्णा Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Charya Stotra Sata Shri Srimad Jivangri S.A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskand Viviti Fangra Charya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Charya Stotra Sata Shri Srimad Jivangri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Samaveta Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So today we are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela chapter 6 text number 76 through 78 So I'll do 76 and 77, and then we can all do 78 together.
Kahi na yari punarapi yoga patadiya samskara kariye uttama sampradaya aniya.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then suggested, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like, I could bring him into a first-class sampradaya by offering him saffron cloth and performing the reformatory process again. Number 77.
Shuni Gopinata Mukunda Duhe Dukhi Haila Gopinata Charya Kichu Kahite Lagila
Gopinata Charya and Mukunda Dutt became very unhappy when they heard this. Gopinathacharya therefore addressed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as follows. Please repeat.
Bhattacharya tumi inhara na jana mahima Bhagavata lakshanera ihate sima Bhattacharya tumi inhar na jana mahima Bhagavata lakshanera inhate isima
Bhattacharya Tumin Harana Jana Mahima. Bhagavata Lakshinera Inhate Isima. Atacharya Tumi Narana Jana Mahima. Bhagavata Lakshanera Ihate Isima. Atacharya Tumi Narana Jana Mahima. Anybody else want to try on the men's side? Okay, Mataji's. Bhata charja tumi hara na jana mahima. Bhagavata Lakshanera Ihate Isima. Bhattacharya Tumiya Najana Mahima. Bhagavata Lakshanera Ihate Isima. Translation. Well, let's go word to word first. Bhattacharya. My dear Bhattacharya. Tumi. You. Inhara of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Na, not. Jana, know. Mahima, the greatness. Bhagavata, of being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lakshanera, of symptoms. Ihate, in him. Sima, the highest degree. Translation improper by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Bhattacharya, you do not know the greatness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are found in him to the highest degree. Purport. Since the Bhattacharya was an impersonalist, he had no idea of the absolute truth beyond the impersonal effulgence. However, Gopinathacharya informed him that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who know the absolute truth know it in three phases, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11. Bhadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdyate. Those who are in knowledge of the non-dual absolute truth know very clearly what is Brahman, what is Paramatma, and what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Sad Aishwarya Purna, complete with six opulences. Gopinathacharya emphasized that all these six opulences were completely existing in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll just go back to number 76 and finish up that reading. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then suggested, if Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like, I could bring him into a first-class sampradaya by offering him saffron cloth and performing the reformatory process again. Purport. The Bhattacharya wanted to reinstate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the Saraswati Sampradaya because he did not like the Lord's belonging to the Bharati Sampradaya or Puri Sampradaya. Actually, he did not know the position of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not depend on an inferior or superior sampradaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead remains in the supreme position in all circumstances. And 77 again. Gopinathacharya and Mukunda Datta became very unhappy when they heard this. Gopinathacharya therefore addressed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as follows. My dear Bhattacharya, you do not know the greatness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are found in Him to the highest degree. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Vibhavu Prabhuti Namini Sri Sri Vindhati Vira Parapankajarayani Prabhupada Nupadaya Namaha Sri Vida Bhavi Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Sannivadi Paschatya Deshitarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, there's a lot already said about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya over the last few weeks. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his position with the Bhattacharya. Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati were the two most important impersonalists that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very interested in converting or changing their hearts. Converting is not a good word these days, to convert someone. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu anyway was very, very concerned and happy that he was able to change the hearts of these two great personalities. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, as we know, was just an incarnation of Brihaspati. And Brihaspati, he was the priests, the high priests, the head priests of the demigods. Very, very important position. He was a guru of Indra and a high priest of the demigods. And of course, Prakashananda Saraswati was a head of the impersonalist group at that time. So I have so many thousands of disciples. So by changing their hearts, so many others became devotees. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he actually wanted to do something for Krishna, I mean for Lord Chaitanya. There are others who may listen to somebody, and may see someone, and they may feel to reject that person or to just be indifferent to them or may just walk away. But Bhattacharya, he actually wanted to help Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was such a nice young sannyasi. Why should he belong to a lower order sannyas? He should become, he should be in a higher one, Saraswati Sampradaya. Because the Lord belonging to the Bharati or the Puri Sampradaya, this was actually lowly. So he was such a qualified person, why should he be in a lower standard? So he wanted to actually help him. In Adi Leela, chapter 3, text 34, purport, there is actually a very nice description of some of these things Srila Prabhupada wrote there. It says, I'll read a little bit. Some so-called Vaishnavas say that the renounced order of life was not accepted in the Vaishnava Sampradaya or disciplic succession until Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada said, this is not a very intelligent proposition. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the sannyas order from Sripad Keshava Bharati, who belonged to the Shankara sect, which approves of only 10 names of sannyasis. Long before the advent of Shankaracharya, however, the sannyas order existed in the Vaishnava line of Vishnu Swami. In the Vishnu Swami Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are 10 different kinds of sannyas names and 100 different names for sannyasis who accept the tridanda, the triple staff of sannyas. The Mayavadis, they only take one staff. All is one. This is approved by the Vedic rules. Therefore, Vaishnava sannyas was existent even before the appearance of Shankaracharya. Although those who know nothing about Vaishnava sannyas unnecessarily declare that there is no sannyas in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, Shankaracharya, he came before Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago. Shankaracharya came, 1200, something like that. So this is Vishnu Swami is from the Rudra Sampradaya, also called Rudra Sampradaya. So there was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas from Keshava Bharati, he wanted to prove a point that you can be in a lower, you could be as a lower sannyas, but at the same time you can have so much knowledge of Krishna that you could actually change people's hearts. And he took sannyas specifically for that purpose, because people were not really getting the mercy of Lord Krishna. And someone said, well, you can be a grihastha and you can still do the same preaching program. And he said, no, that in order for me to help them, I have to take sannyas. And by taking sannyas, people, because they do respect the orange cloth and the sannyasis, they'll pay respects. And if they pay obeisances, then they will automatically start to make advancement. So that was the whole idea. This continues. During the time of Lord Chaitanya, the influence of Shankaracharya in society was very strong. People thought that one could accept sannyas only in the disciplic succession of Shankaracharya. Lord Chaitanya could have performed his missionary activities as a householder, but he found householder life an obstruction to his mission. Therefore, he decided to accept the renounced order. Since his acceptance of sannyas was also designed to attract public attention, Lord Chaitanya, not wishing to disturb the social convention, took the renounced order of life from a sannyasi in the disciplic succession of Shankaracharya, although sannyas was also sanctioned in this Vaishnav Sampradaya. So he designed his preaching to attract public attention. And I think Srila Prabhupada also, we see how he has designed ISKCON, his mission, to, in one sense we could say, attract public attention. Attracting public attention means attracting the conditioned souls of this world to Krishna. People are suffering from all different types of problems and miseries. And if we can attract them somehow or other to take up the mercy of the Lord, to accept the mercy of the Lord, it's there. In the other places of Bhagavatam, it is described how the boat of mercy is left by the pure devotees of the Lord. They cross the ocean of material existence, and when they reach the other side, they don't just push the boat away. They keep the boat there so that others who are coming, or you could say they send the boat back to the original spot. And so that others who actually follow in their footsteps can actually jump into that boat and cross over the ocean easily also, rather than holding on to the tail of a dog. A dog can swim, Srila Prabhupada said. A dog can swim, but if someone thinks, well, I can hold on to the dog's tail and cross the ocean, he is very foolish. Even an expert swimmer, even if you try to hold on to an expert swimmer to cross over an ocean, it will be very difficult, impossible. In the Shankara Sampradaya, there are 10 different names. So we'll go through them. Please bear with me. Number one, Tirtha. You probably see Bhakti Tirtha, so many different names. The Tirtha is added to the end of the name. These are like name endings. Tirtha, Tu, Ashram, Vana, Aranya, Giri, Parvat, Sagar, Saraswati, Bharati, and Puri. Before one enters sannyas, he has one of the various names for a brahmachari. And brahmachari is supposed to be an assistant to the sannyasi. Sannyasis with the titles Tirtha and Ashram generally stay at Dwarka. And their brahmachari name is Swarup. Those known by the names Vana and Aranya, they stay at Purushottam or Jagannath Puri, and their name is Prakash. Those with the names Giri, Parvat and Sagar generally stay at Badrikashram, and their brahmachari name is Ananda. Those with the titles Saraswati, Bharati and Puri usually live at Sringeri in South India, and their brahmachari name is Chaitanya. Listen carefully, I'm going to give you a little quiz afterwards. Sripad Shankaracharya established four monasteries in India in the four directions. This is Shankaracharya now. North, south, east and west. And he entrusted them to four sannyasis who were his disciples. Now there are hundreds of branches of monasteries. And although there is an official symmetry among them, there are many differences in their dealings. The four different sects of these monasteries are known as Anandavara, Bhogavara, Kitavara, and Bhumivara, and in course of time, they have developed different ideas and different slogans. So, I'm reading this because just to give us an idea of how established this system is. In fact, we hear Srila Prabhupada saying that the whole of India today is actually run under this Shankara impersonalist philosophy. And it has actually pervaded the whole world. So Srila Prabhupada is coming to the Western countries, bringing the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to get rid of this impersonalist understanding, this message of Shankaracharya. Although Shankaracharya himself was a Vaishnava. According to the regulation of the disciplic succession, one who wishes to enter the renounced order in Shankara's sect must first be trained as a brahmachari under a bona fide sannyasi. The great authorities in the disciplic succession had not offered to explain why Lord Chaitanya refused to take the name Bharati after he took sannyas from a Bharati, until Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur volunteered the explanation that because a sannyasi in the Shankara Sampradaya thinks that he has become the Supreme, Lord Chaitanya, wanting to avoid such a misconception, kept the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, placing himself as an eternal servitor. And this is a very important point that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is describing. That Lord Chaitanya, he kept the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Because in general, the Shankaracharyas, they have the idea that they are very, very great and they are very puffed up. And they think that they are actually the Supreme Lord. They are one with the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though he is taking sannyas in this impersonalist sampradaya, by taking from Keshava Bharati, he kept the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Because that will explain that how he himself is an eternal servant. He is a servitor. A brahmachari is supposed to serve the spiritual master. Therefore, he did not negate that relationship with his guru. Accepting such a position is favorable for the relationship between the guru and disciple. So, This is actually a very, very important point. The Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first, this is this one of his first things that he would do in order to preach more extensively, in order to give the holy name wholesale, you can say, to the whole of India and to the whole world. So these sampradayas, these four sampradayas, Srila Prabhupada described it, these four sampradayas are still preaching all over the universe. The sampradayas are coming from Brahma, from Rudra, who is Lord Shiva, Sri, who is Lakshmi Devi, and the fourth one is the Kumaras, whom Sanat Kumar is described. So these four devotees of the Lord, they are giving this message to the whole world, trying to bring the conditioned souls back to the spiritual world. And it's going on. Srila Prabhupada said, all of them are preaching even today, trying to get people interested. So we belong to the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. All of the four original Sampradayas are still scrupulously engaged in transcendental service of the Lord up to date, and they all declare that Krishna, Mukunda, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no other personality is equal to Him or greater than Him. Whereas the impersonalist Sampradayas, they're saying that God is impersonal, and we are actually God ourselves. We and God are one. So this is one of the reasons why people stay in the material world for a long time. And in fact, the philosophy, our philosophy states that people, we have come here with a certain desire, that is to enjoy separately from Krishna. And Prabhupada said, in the material world, that's why everyone wants to be on top. Everyone wants to be God in the material world. So in the beginning, we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna, and therefore we come here and try to enjoy separately from Him. But because we are covered by the material energy, we suffer more and more. The impersonalists, they cannot understand. It's very difficult. In fact, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being such a great personality, and he actually got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In general, they are basket cases for those who are impersonalists. It's very difficult to change their mind. There's so many groups in India with all different philosophies, and very hard to get them to change. The only thing we could do is give them prasad. Srila Prabhupada said, everyone likes prasadam. So all these, most difficult person, if you give him prasadam, he will, he might appreciate a little bit. But it's very, very difficult to get people to understand that Krishna is supreme. The Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, later on, you will see when he would become a devotee, how wonderful, how strong a devotee he would be. That he would, when he would hear the word mukti, mukti means liberation. Mukti means liberation. Impersonalist liberation. That's what the impersonalists are trying to become, to get mukti, to become liberated. But whenever he would hear the word mukti, he would become very angry with himself. He doesn't want to hear the name. He would cover his ears. Mukti. And then if he wanted to change the word mukti to bhakti. And anyway, he was stopped. No. This is a scripture. This means something else. In this case, mukti doesn't mean liberation. It means actually bhakti. So he was so much moved by the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he felt this great urge to serve Krishna and to enjoy in the company of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We see others also, even like Jagai and Madhai. They were of course a different class of demons. And when they were converted, when their hearts were changed, we see how regretful they were of their previous actions. One of them went to the banks of the Ganges, and all he was doing was menial service to the pilgrims who go there. He would keep their cloth, he would wash their cloth, he would just help them. Whatever they needed, he would do, and he would constantly beat his chest and say, how foolish I am, how, and he would regret his position so much of all the sinful activities he has done. They said that this is one of the qualities of a great personality, that he would actually be very regretful. When he becomes a devotee, he'll be very regretful of all the sinful activities he has performed. So the Bhattacharya also fall in that category. I'll stop there and see if anyone has any comments or questions. Madan Mohan Prabhu.
First, that you were saying that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to change mukti to bhakti. Do you remember which verse that was?
I don't remember.
It's the 10:14:8 verse. So you know the verse?
That,
you know, for those with the goal and suffering, the reactions that are past sinful activities, but within the core of their heart, they're always offering obeisances, is it? To Krishna, then liberation becomes rightful claim. So now, after this, we can think bhakti becomes the rightful claim. Because I think Lord Chaitanya did explain it. It'll probably come up in a couple of weeks when that takes, well, actually a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But how that that mukti actually means bhakti. So, yeah.
Thank you. There are some very nice verses that that describe the Supreme Lord, and one may think that he's actually impersonal. There is a verse, I think this is from one of the Upanishads. It says, Apani paro javano grahito pashyatya chakshu sasrinotya karna saveti vedyam natachatasya veta tamahura grayam purusham puranam. It is described that he has no feet or hands, yet he is the swiftest runner and can grasp anything. Can you understand that? he has no feet or hands, yet he can run very fast and he can grasp things. So when someone hears that, they say, wow, how is that possible? We have never seen that in this world. Though without eyes or ears, he sees and he hears. Nobody knows him, yet he is a knower and the object of knowledge. Sages describe him as the supreme original personality of Godhead. I remember someone describing the Buddhist philosophy, and they say God is description of God. The more you go towards him, the more he goes away from you. The more you go towards him, he goes away from you. And there are descriptions like that. Although the Supreme Lord is described as having hands, he nonetheless accepts are sacrificial sacrifices, offerings. He has no eyes, yet he can see. And it continues like that. And then in the Bhagavatam, on this Sampradaya, we see in fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is described how the message is coming down. The message is coming down to us in the disciplic succession. That Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam. That Krishna is telling Arjuna, I instructed this imperishable science to yoga to the sun god, Vivaswan, and Vivaswan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku, evam parampara praptam. So this, in this way, the message is coming down to us. Yeah.
Just a comment on your Buddhist. You say if you go towards him, he goes away. So, of course, the pun would be, that's why they get nowhere. But the other thing is, with a logical, we understand you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 towards you. So that means they're actually running away from him very fast. Because if Krishna is always approaching you, and if you're approaching him, he's getting further away, that means you're running in the wrong direction.
If you follow the same rule.
Yeah, that as Buddhists, so they get nothing as a result, which is what they want.
And that could be true for us too. If we don't really want Krishna, then he can go far away. In fact, we could stay in the material world for a long time. Yep, sthita dhimuni.
Well, it's. I mean, if I don't want to be judgmental about this. I mean, if you're trying, if you're claiming to want to approach God with certain desires, he perhaps would sort of fulfill your desires by moving away. You know, if someone's claiming to approach God without bhakti, perhaps you don't even really want God to begin with, and you're not really giving God anything to reciprocate with anyway.
That's why we are advised to worship the Lord and approach him with humility and feeling. Because when we approach the Lord in that way of doing some service, doing some menial service, then we actually get the mercy. Okay, and today we'll be getting a lot of mercy, going out and distributing the holy name to all these thousands of people in our local area. It's a good chance for us to put something in our spiritual bank account, isn't it? Today we get a good chance to put something in our eternal bank account when we do some devotional service going out there. And the other day we were hearing how Today we had two opportunities leaving here at meeting at the main street there, behind the villas, 12:30, and we'll do Harinam there and the parade, joining the parade, and then again at 5 o'clock we'll meet in High Springs. And these are very, very wonderful opportunities and occasions, because people are there, they're just waiting to see us and really speaking. And usually they put us towards the back because they want people to stay interested. And people, as soon as they see us, they put their hands up in the air, they smile, they're dancing, they're very, very happy to see us. So please come out. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.